Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to be able to stand and speak, dear Heavenly Father, for you. I ask that you just anoint my tongue, body, soul, and mouth to speak only your words. Father God, we just ask that you take the keys, bind every demonic spirit, anything that would try to stop or hinder or keep your word from proceeding forth. Father God, we just loose your Holy Ghost Spirit to have its will and way and control. God, I just ask you to open the hearts and ears of the eyes of people here today that they receive from you and not from man. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to have you take a look at yourself, and then I also want you to see other people the way that I believe God wants us to see other people, okay? Because I think that too many of us see people and we don't really see them for who they truly are. And why don't people see children as children of God or children of the devil? What we tend to do is just see people as people. Am I right? But that's not the case. Either you're going to be a child of God or you're going to be a child of the devil. And you can't have both. Okay? And I want you to look at the outside of somebody's body, okay? And I want you to see it for what it really is. This body is like an automobile, all right? Too many people put too many emphasis on what somebody looks like, what color skin they are, where they were brought up, how much money they got, how much money they don't have, what kind of house they have, what kind of car. And all of that is just, you need to get rid of that, okay? And don't look at the outside, because the outside is nothing but the car. Now, in this car that came from dirt, it's going to return back to dirt. And your eyes are what? The windshield of the car. And your ears are what? The speakers of the car. And your brain is what? The computer of the car. Your hands and your feet are the tires of the car. And your heart is what? The motor of the car. So you got a perfectly running, you got a perfectly good car, but just like your automobile that you have outside, it can sit there and be the most prettiest, perfect looking automobile there is, but until you open the door and you step inside and put the key in and you turn it, it's not going to go anywhere, is it? So somebody's got to operate it. Well, the same way with you. You may think that you are who you are, but your spirit has got to be one with one or two. It's either got to be one with God, and God is going to lead you, guide you, and direct you, or you're going to be underneath the influence of the devil, and then the devil will lead and guide and direct you. Again, you can't have both. You can only have one or the other. You understand? In the passage of Scripture, we have Luke 11. I want you to turn to Luke 11, verse 23. And we'll read through verse 26. And I want you to see that this is Jesus' words and what he has to say. Luke 11, 23 to 26. You there? Say amen. The Word of God says, "He that is not with me is what? Is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. When an unclean spirit goeth out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, findeth none. He saith, I will return to my house which I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth swept and garnished. Then he go out and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." So this is Jesus telling you what? That demons live inside of people. So I don't care what anybody says that, oh, that stopped happening when the apostles left and they died. No, that demons are still real. They're still alive. And guess what? They live inside of people. Period. Now, what we also learn from this is you're either going to be a child of God or a child of devil. Period. And by this verse, we can see that evil spirits, they live inside of people. But here's something else we learn. We also learn sometimes it ain't just one spirit. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes it ain't just one spirit. It's multiple spirits. Because here it says that spirit is able to come and go as it wants. Did you hear what I said? And that evil spirit will go out and find other spirits It said found seven of them, and then they came in and they made this man seven, or woman, we're going to use that, seven times worse than what they were. Now what you think what them seven spirits is going to do? Them seven spirits are eventually, they're going to go out, and guess what they're going to do? They're going to find seven more spirits even more worse than what they were. And before you know it, that man or woman has now become so full of demonic activity that it's no longer them living, but it's when you see them, yeah, you see them, but you really don't see them because you're not looking past the outside to see what's really in. What's inside is really transforming itself to the outside. You understand what I'm saying? So now it's no longer that person, because the person that you once knew, guess what you tell yourself? That ain't the same person I used to know. Why? Because the person I know or used to know would never have done what they've done. They would never be this person that they've been. So don't pay no mind to them. Why? Because that ain't the same person they used to be. How many of y'all said that? You see, what happens is people open the door to one spirit of pride, and then here comes anger, then here comes wrath, and then here comes murder. Did you see how that happened? So it was one little spirit of pride, you hurt my feelings, that led to the spirit of angry, now I'm mad at you, to led to now I'm going to show my wrath. And then now I'm going to try to take you out. Do you get it? Let's back it up. One little spirit of lust, ooh, that looks good, turns into one little spirit of, I get your attention, you got mine. Now we begin to communicate. And now I begin to touch, you begin to touch. And then now we fornicate. And then now we don't. We are taking on each other's spirits. Remember what I told you, spirits live inside of people. So when you become one flesh with somebody, now you took on their spirits, they taking on your spirits, and now y'all spirits done mixed up. So if you a holy man of God or a holy woman of God, and you just bred with a devil, guess what you just took inside of you? You just took the devil in. And now all of a sudden your mind ain't where it needs to be, because it ain't going to be on Jesus no more, is it? It's going to be on the lust of your flesh, and the lust of your flesh is going to tell you that this is okay. That it's all right to look. It's all right. And here's some of y'all saying, it's okay to look as long as I don't touch. I don't think that's what Jesus said. He said, he that looketh with his eye committeth adultery, right there. So for all you people that say, well, I didn't sleep with him, so I ain't committed adultery. The minute that you looked upon that man or woman, you just committed adultery. Well, so what? You do it. You see how people go? That's another. The devil is what? The accuser of the brethren. And everybody is worrying about everybody else's business when they should be focusing on their own. Because here's the thing. People are going to have the devil, or they're going to have God. And I'm not saying people that have God are not afflicted by the devil. Because everybody that serves God is going to be afflicted by the devil. It's whether you submit to the devil and do what he wants you to do, or whether you reject it. Now some of you say, well, I submitted, but I asked God to forgive me. Do I got the devil in my possession? No, I'm not saying. It's when you continue to ask God to help you clean your slate, wipe your sins, repent over the same thing. What you're doing is now you are opening the door, and then before too long you've accepted that spirit inside of you, and then there's no longer any more conviction. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know that sin that you used to bother you when you said a bad word and you was like, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. And then all of a sudden you began to say so many bad words, now it don't even bother you when you say them. And that's just the illustration. You go ahead and put your own little personal sin in there, the one that you steady doing, that now it don't have no effect no more. You can mess around and open yourself up to some demonic spirits. Amen? Now, let's go ahead and turn your Bibles over to John chapter 8. Jesus tells us that there are people that are children of the devil. Amen. Again, we've seen right here where Jesus tells them what? He said, you're either with me or against me. He didn't say you can ride the fence, did he? He didn't say you can have the devil and Jesus, did he? Did you hear what I just said? He said you either or. So either you got God or you got the devil. Plain and simple. It don't let's before we even move on, before we get to John 8, God don't want to move forward. So let's focus back on what where we were. Just keep your places and listen. Here's what he's trying to tell you. So these people that once saved, always saved, or these people that say God's a loving, merciful, forgiving God, you can just do what you want, come and go. No, that's the devils that are coming and going, and they're going and getting more. Jesus straight up told them, you either with me or against me. You either going to gather or you going to scatter. And guess what? There are some people that only come to church. They're not coming to gather, church. Their whole job is to do the work of the devil, and they are coming to scatter. The only reason why they show up is to cause people anger, bitterness, problems, and cause drama, and cause confusion, and they cause division, and they want you to stop coming to church. That's the only reason why they show up, to do the work of their father. Because the devil doesn't want you up in this church. He don't want you up in here. Many of you may have got attacked before you even got here. What you doing going to that church? Why are you even going there? Well, that pastor this and that pastor that. You know, it's just a bunch of craziness. And some of you had a great day and you got to church, and then the devil attacked you when you up in the church. Because he don't want you here. Why doesn't he want you here? Because he knows if you're here, you're going to get the word of God. He knows you're here, you're going to get what you need. And the devil don't want you here. He don't want you here. He wants to try everything he can to keep you from coming. And what you should be doing is telling that devil that's trying to keep you from coming, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Get behind me. Because guess what? You ain't coming to gather, you coming to scatter. Amen? It's not by accident that you're here this morning. It's not. But what are you going to do with what you've been getting told? Amen? Because this is very, very real. Do you understand? Now we'll go to John 8, 44. This is Jesus again. John 8, 44. There, amen? Listen to what Jesus tells him. He said, you are your father, the devil. Straight up. I mean, how would you like it if I just looked at you and said, you are your father, the devil? Y'all get up and leave the church. Jesus didn't hold no punches, did he? He straight checked them. He said, you, your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and he's a father of it. Jesus put them just, boy, they didn't know what to think. He said, you are your father, the devil. He's speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's speaking to a holy religious people. He's speaking to the church people that thought that they were doing what they were supposed to do. And he straight up checked them all. He checked the whole place. He said, look, you are your father, the devil. He said he was a murderer. He was a liar. And when he speak of a lie, he's the father of it. And he said, you are his children. That is a cold, cold. Jesus was a cold preacher, wasn't he? Now, I went to asking myself, well, hang on. I never heard about Jesus, the devil killing anybody. You know me when I told you about last Sunday, I asked questions. So I'm like, God, what is Jesus talking about when the devil was a murderer from the beginning? Who did he kill? And why did the devil murder somebody? Amen. So I turned around and I got to thinking about it. I said, well, you know what? When Adam and Eve sinned, not only did it get them kicked out of heaven, but the devil became joint heirs, joint rulers with them, because God had given them rulership over this world. And the minute that he done that, sin, their disobedience opened to sin to death, not only to them spiritually, but also he opened the door for what? For evil spirits to be able to come. And then when we learn that those evil spirits came in, look at 1 John 3:12. 1 John 3:12, the Word of God says, not as Cain, who was of who? That wicked one. Who is the wicked one? The devil. So he's basically telling, he's basically saying, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. So he's saying Cain was the son of who? The devil. He said, and he slew his brother, and wherefore he slew him? It said, because his works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Amen. So we see that because Adam and Eve sinned, they opened the door to them demons. Cain, therefore, become a child of the devil. Why? Because them spirits entered inside of him. And when them spirits entered inside of him, he therefore went and took his righteous brother and killed him. So who do you think killed him? It was the devil inside of Cain that killed his brother Abel. And had Adam and Eve not sinned in the first place, them spirits wouldn't have been able to not only attack them and kill them spiritually where they had to leave, because they were supposed to live for eternity. He said, when you touch this, you're going to die. It was the devil that turned around and caused them to die, because they should have been walking in the presence of God for all eternity. And that's the reason why we die. But it was more than that, because now the sin opened forth to the devil, and the devil allowed his spirits to go, and then Cain become like the first child of the devil and turned around and killed his own brother. And he said, why did he kill him? He said, because his deeds were evil and his was righteous. Now, mind you, remember Jesus was talking to who? He was talking to the church when he called him. He says, you are your father, the devil. Here we got Cain, who was going before God, who was seeing God, went before God, took him his offering, said, here's my offering, here's my sacrifice. And then you got his brother that came and gave with the right heart and said, here's my sacrifice. One had the devil, one had God. They could both say they came to church. They can both say they gave. They can both say they were talking to God. But one had the devil. Did you understand that? So what does that tell us? People can be full of people, could be the church can be packed full of people. You can all hear the Word of God. You can all come to church. You can all read your Bible. You can all go through the motions. You can all go through what God tells you, what you think you need to do and how you need to do it. Oh, I got to give a sacrifice. Okay, here I go. I give it. But if your heart ain't in it and you just going through the motions and you just doing what's required of you, then guess what? You another Cain. You might as well say, look, I ain't doing it with the right heart. And what did it do? It made Cain so mad that he killed his brother. And why in the world would the devil want to use Cain to kill his brother? Because he already entered into Cain. He knew that Jesus Christ was going to come, because God already told Adam and Eve. He said, look, your seed will be enmity against the snake skin. See, you'll bruise his head, he'll bruise your heel. So what is he saying? He's saying, look, Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. He's coming, and you may attack Jesus and try to get him, but in the end, he's going to bruise your head and he's going to win and be victorious. So the devil knew that. So what was he trying to do? He was trying to take out the seed of Adam. So he possessed one to kill his own brother to think, well, I'll stop Jesus from coming. But God had another plan, didn't he? He brought forth Seth. Amen. He brought forth Seth. And Seth, therefore, got forth birth to, if you trace Jesus' bloodline, it goes all the way back down to Seth. And Seth was also a righteous man. So God's will was still going to be done. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and go on over to 1 John 3:17. 1 John 3 at verse 7 and 10. 1 John 3 verse 7 and 10. You there, say amen. Little children, let no one deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righous. This is how you're going to tell whether you got whether you got Jesus inside of you or you got a devil. Okay? This is how you're going to know. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for he sinneth from the beginning, For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born in God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. So here's what he's trying to say. Because some of you are going to say, well, hold up, man. He just said that if I'm of God, I'm not going to sin. And I sin, so does that mean I'm of the devil? No, that's not what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, if you are of God, then guess what? You're not going to continue doing those sins. Did you hear what I just said? You're not going to continue to keep on sinning, because if you keep on being disobedient, then you are showing that you're really not of God. Because if you're of God, how many of you know when you're of God, the minute you do something wrong, you feel that conviction. You're like, shouldn't have done that. And what's the first thing you do? Man, I got to get myself straight. Children of the devil, guess what they say? They make excuses for their sins. Well, it's okay. Well, I'm human. Everybody does it. Well, it's because of this. It's because of that. And they blame, like Adam and Eve, and they blame everybody. Well, guess what? You're a child of the devil. Why? Because you love sin more than you love God. It don't matter you come to church. It don't matter you read your Bible. It don't matter that you pray. It don't matter if you give your offering. You ain't nothing but another Cain going before God, and you doing some false worship, and God knows your heart ain't in it. Did you hear me? So what he's saying is those who continue to keep sinning, and when God tells you no, and you stubborn and you hard-headed and you rebellious and you do what you want to do anyway, he's saying, look, I don't care, you are going through that. You ain't doing nothing but another Cain. You got the devil. And that's how you know. He says, those who turn around and do evil are of the devil. Those who do righteous, they will can turn around and confess their sins before God. And they won't continue to keep sinning, and they won't continue to keep doing wrong. They will say, you know what? I don't want to live that way. Not because I'm scared of going to hell, not because I'm scared of this, that, or the other, or I'm going to get a correction, or I'm only going to do good because I don't want God to correct me. No, you're going to serve God because you love God. You're going to serve God because you want to make God happy. You're going to serve God because it will drive your conscience crazy if you do something wrong. That's how you know whether you're a child of God or the devil. But if you continue to keep on sinning, he turned around and he says, look, if you continue to keep on sinning, then you are of your father, the devil. And guess what? At the end, look where it says. He says, neither he that loveth not his brother. Remember how Cain persecuted his brother for being righteous? Well, guess what? Cain hated his brother for righteousness, and children of the devil, they will hate you for your righteousness. Your righteousness is what? It's a constant reminder that they're going to go to hell, so guess what? They hate you. You ever notice when you preach or try to teach or try to warn somebody, they get angry, they get mad, they get upset? Why? Because they got the devil. That's all there is to it. They got the devil. Somebody that don't have the devil, when you turn around and you say something, hey man, that's wrong, you better sin, they're going to say, man, thank you so much. Good looking out, man. I'm glad you brought that to my attention. Kind of like Matt did. He said, you know what? Thank you for the correction. I was mad. I was woo, woo, woo. You see how he done it this morning? He said, I thank you for that. He got himself right. Those who turn around and they don't want to hear, they don't want to do right, they don't want to change, and they want to be stubborn and hard-headed, rebellious, guess what? They have the devil. There is nothing that you can do to change their mind. There's nothing you can do to help them. There's nothing that you can do to try to draw them away from sin until their heart is ready to change. You are doing nothing but casting your pearls to swine. They're going to continue to trample you. They're going to continue to try to kill you spiritually. Same way Cain took out Abel, their job is to be by the devil, and they are being used by the devil to try to hurt you, to try to attack you, to try to come against you, to try to take you out. And it'll be those closest to you that you love the most, the devil will use to try to take you out. And that's where you got to tell yourself, is this person of God or are they of the devil? Because you can't be both. What did God say? You either with me or against me. Either you gathering or you scattering. So if people don't want to hear the warning, they don't want to take heed to the warning, they want to get mad at you when you give them the Word of God, it clearly shows what they have inside of them. What? I got five of you in the whole church that's paying attention. The devil. Remember, the outside of the car is just a car. Just because it's your mama, just because it's your daddy, just because it's your son, your daughter, just because it's your wife, your husband, guess what? It don't matter. You looking at the outside of somebody, and I don't want you to look. I want you to look inside of them. I want you to ask yourself, is that a man, is that a woman of God, or do they got the devil? Bypass the mama, daddy, husband, wife, children, daughter, son. Bypass all that and look at them for who they are and say, do they got the Son of God in them or do they got the devil in them? Because if they got the devil in them, guess what? They are going to continue to be Cain. They're going to continue to attack you. They're going to continue to come against you. They're going to continue to try to destroy you because of their own jealousy. He said, I killed him because my righteous were evil and his was good. That's what the Word of God said. They will kill you and attack you and come against you because they know they're doing evil. They know they're messing up. They know they're being stubborn. They know they're being rebellious. They know they're doing wrong. And the minute that you bring it to their attention, it's conviction. It's like a light shining on them. And why are you shining that on me? Don't worry about me. Worry about yourself. Man, I'm trying to help you. You're fixing to go to hell. Then just let me go to hell. How many times you witnessed to people and they turned around, attacked you, and came against you? How many times they didn't want to hear it? You giving them the word of life, man. You giving them treasure from heaven. You giving them pearls. You giving them life. But to them, guess what? It's a conviction on them so strong and a stench in their nostrils, and they reject what you got to say. I don't have to listen to you, Pastor. I don't have to listen to you, husband. I don't have to listen to you, wife. I don't have to listen to you, mommy. I don't have to listen to you, daddy. I'm grown now. Don't tell me what to do. I don't have to listen to you no more. I can do what I want to do. Well, then drive yourself straight to hell then. You need to be thankful to God that somebody's loved your hard-headed, stubborn self enough to try to wake you up. And say, stop, man, stop. Stop sinning. Quit doing wrong. And the reason why it hurts children of God, you know why? It's because they have so much love in them for God. They want to see everybody saved. They want to see everybody go to heaven. They want to see everybody feel the love of Jesus inside of them the way they feel. But guess what? They keep giving it to a bunch of people that could care less about what you turn around and trying to give them. They're killing you spiritually. They're trying to suck you dry, man. They're trying to take all the life out of you. Then you got other people that are brand new. They just turn around their minds like a sponge and they just dial in. They're right, Marquitas. Give it to me. Don't look at everybody else, Marquitas. You may fall asleep and they won't understand what you're feeling. You know what I mean? Why ain't they getting it the way I'm getting it? Because they don't care. They don't want to change, man. They don't want to change. They don't want to give up their sin. They want to continue to live a lie. They will continue to go be like Cain and say, here's my sacrifice, God. Are you pleased with me? No, I ain't pleased with you. And matter of fact, I don't even accept it. Get it out of here. And when you go get me something and sin lay at the door seeking to attack you, when you do right, you can bring it back and then I'll accept it. He had an opportunity to make it right. Come on now. God gave him an opportunity. And yet he allowed the demons to enter him and then turn around and take his brother. Come out here in the field. And killed him. Little do we know we do that right now. We try to give somebody the word of God. We're trying to save their soul from hell. We're trying to show them love. And what do they do? Come on out here in the field. So I can kill you and make you feel as nasty and dead inside as I do. So I can destroy you with my words. So I can, what does it say? Not loveth his brother. But they hate you because you're good. They hate you because you're righteous. They hate you because you serve God. They hate you because you are where you need to be. And they will do anything and everything they can to find one little bitty old splinter so they can justify the 2x4 they got in their own eye. You ain't no good preacher. You ain't no good Christian. You ain't no good such as mother, father, daughter. Yeah, why? Because I seen you get angry. You see me get angry, but what have you done? Well, I ain't the one standing behind the pulpit. What difference does it make? In the eyes of God, we all equal. When I go before God, you're going to get judged the same way I'm going to get judged. You think you're going to get it. And what's really going to be sick, because he's going to say, you sit up underneath this word and heard it all day long and you still didn't change. Come on now. Don't let me be beside God and him say, did you not tell them that? Yes, sir, I told them. I don't want to see you go to hell. Why do you think I preach so the way I do? Why do you think I let God do it? Tell me and let it come out of me? Because I want God to give you the rivers of living water to save your soul so you don't go to hell. You show me somebody else that loves you that much. You don't hear us sitting around saying, sow a seed, give us some money, give us some money. Man, I don't care about your... I about said stinking, but I don't want to say that. I don't care about your money. That's not what it's about for me. I want to see you saved, man. I want to be able to go to church, and then he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and in my Father's house is many mansions. I want to get up there and say, boy, we did it, did we, man? Woo, look at that. Look at that big old mansion right there. Watch that. Pearly gate come up. You know what I mean? I got it going on. That's what it's about. It's not about where you come from, what you look like, what color skin you are, how much money you got, how successful you are. Oh, I'm an owner. I'm a business. Ain't nobody caring about all that stuff, man. In your own head, you may think that's what you got to be. But God takes those who are nothing and creates something. Amen. He takes those that were in the ditches and the trenches. He takes those that were in the highways and the byways. The alcoholic, the drug addict, the prostitute, the hustler, the turnaround and drug dealer, the murderer, the killer. He took all of them and he turned. Prove it. Moses was a killer. David killed and committed adultery. And Jesus still came from his loins. Paul persecuted the church and locked them up. You go through all through there. It wasn't the princes and the good people that God was using. He was using the thugged out, nasty people. Why? Because he knew once he changed them, they were going to be on fire for the Lord, baby. He knew it. Why didn't he use other people? Because they would stand up there and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm so great and wonderful. Somebody that come from where we come from, they ain't going to say that. They're going to be like, man, I don't know how in the world the Lord's doing it. So how do we keep from being attacked? How do we keep from being killed by our brothers and sisters that have the devil when we try to give them the word of God? How do we keep from going through that? Look at the last passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Told you this is going to be on fire. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. You there? Word of God says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord have Christ with Baal? Or what part have he that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell where? In them. And I will walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, what does it say? Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty God. Amen. So he tells us to do what? He tells us to withdraw ourselves from those who are unbelievers. He tells us, and then he tells us why. He said, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? In other words, what business do you got going around them evil people? Are you truly a child of God? Do you truly love the Lord? Yes, I do. Then why are you around them? Why are you around them? He said, because you ain't got no business being around them. If you're a child of God and God lives in you, what business do you got being around them? Ain't that what it says? He said, what concord is Christ with the devil? What part does he that believeth with a sinner? Do y'all have anything in common? What agreement does the temple of God with the temple of devils? Because Cain, guess what? He a temple of the devil. He's a temple of idol. He got the devil. He says, for you are the temple of the living God, and I will dwell in you. I will walk in you. So you got those who have the bad spirits that keep getting worse and worse and worse. And then you got you who say, I love the Lord and God dwells in me. Ooh, hallelujah. Think about that for a moment. The problem with people is they become saved and they don't realize the power and the authority that they have once they accept Jesus. Because when you accept Jesus, guess what? You have Almighty God lives inside of you. Hallelujah. Do you know how powerful that is? You ain't got to walk around a broken-hearted, defeated, jacked up in the mind Christian. You can walk around with power and authority and say, I wish you would. Huh? It's like you unbutton and let them see God. Pow! You got God in you, man. Do you understand that? Too many of y'all thinking, hello, God, will you hear my prayer? You a bonehead, he's right here inside of you. How do you talk to your conscience? God, what's going on? You better leave that alone. You better walk away. What business you got with that? That's the devil. Leave. How many times you heard God tell you depart? How many times you told God say leave it alone? How many times you told God say don't look at that? Don't call that? Don't talk to that? Don't touch that? How many times you heard it? And then if you continue to keep doing it, then you open the door for the devil to come. And then guess what people do then? Oh, God, help me. No, you didn't want no help. You know the reason why you want help now? Because you done messed up. Let me ask you something. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Does it say, come out from among them unless it's your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your children? Don't say that, does it? Come out from among them, be saith the Lord. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. And it says, touch not the unclean thing. It says, you ain't got no business being around them. So here's the thing. Stop living a lie. Either you a Canaan or you an Abel. Either you with God and he's with you or you against God. It's that simple. It don't matter who you are, what you look like, what person it is, your mama, your daddy, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, guess what? If you ain't for God, you against God with me. If you ain't coming to help gather, then you ain't nothing but somebody that's come to scatter. And there comes a line that you got to draw. You listen to me, church, because you will have to draw it. There comes a line where you have to draw and you have to say, you know what? As far as me and my house go, we serve the Lord. And those who's going to be in this house is going to serve the Lord. And those that ain't, there's the door you can get to step in. Because I ain't going to hell for you or nobody else. Amen. I'm going to serve Jesus and I ain't going to live some fake, watered down, hypocrite life going before God with some jacked up offering like Cain. I'm coming with the real, raw, uncut, clean, pure, Holy Ghost Spirit fire sacrifice to Jesus and God and say, this is my offering, God. This is what I have to give you. And those that truly love the Lord and truly serve God will be with you and be on your side and they'll hear the truth and the truth will set them free and they'll break the chains and the bondages up off of them and they'll say, I know what I got to do. I know what I got to do. I know what I got to do. What I got to do, I got to come out from among them. Because as long as you're among them, guess what? You will always turn around and they will hold you down from being what God wants you to be. You'll never be what God wants you to be as long as you got the devil sitting there holding you down. The devil is using them people to attack you, to put you, to come against you, to kill you the way Cain killed his brother Abel. They're trying to kill you, man. You got to leave them alone. You got to leave them alone. I don't care how much they say, but I love you. Jesus turned around and he told them, he said, your mother and your brothers are outside. He said, who is my mother and my brother? This is the woman that gave birth to him, the Virgin Mary, and all his brothers. They said, they out on the outside of the crowd, they wish. He said, who is my mother and my brother? He pointed at his disciples. He said, those that do the will of my Father. See, Jesus didn't look at the outside of people. He looked at what's on the end. And I suggest you do the same. We're going to have an altar call, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to hit your knees, and I want you to tell God, do I got the spirit of God or do I got the spirit of the devil? And if you got the spirit of the devil, then you better ask God to get that sucker out before it's too late. Because God ain't going to play around with the hypocrisy. God ain't going to play around with your fakeness. He ain't going to play around with you playing church. He ain't going to play around with you keeping some of your sins and then letting the rest of them go. You got to be real with God. You come to a point to where you got to say, either I'm with him or I'm against him. Because I'm going to tell you, those that are on the fence, the devil owns the fence. And you with the devil. I don't care how holy, clean, pure, good you are. Those that continue in sin, ain't that what we read? It says what? Are of the devil. That's what it says. These are not my words. That's why I gave you all these scriptures. So you need to look at yourself and say, man, do I got the devil in me? Is the devil, is that why my life the way it is? And if you're unsure and you say, well, I don't know, then here's what we're going to do. We're going to have this altar call and you're going to hit your knees and you're going to say, God, if there's anything in me that's not of you, get it out. I renounce you, Satan. I renounce. And then here's how. And here's what I encourage you to do. The sins that you know that you've been doing, give them to God right here on the altar and say, look, I lay this sin down.